Okay.
Hey, let me hear you say yo.
God, if you have anything that you have going on in your life tonight, put it on the altar. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tonight we have a very special guest, Pastor Felicia of In Him Ministries. And I don't know what God is going to do on tonight. Glory to God. But I know that somebody is going to be blessed on tonight, including myself. And Pastor Felicia and I already prayed. But we want to pray again over the broadcast while we have people listening. If you want to call, if you want to call and speak with Pastor Felicia or myself, you may call 323-693-3054 And when you call, please press the 1. That way I'll know that you want to get on the air. Again, that's area code 323-693-3054. All right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to glorify you and magnify you today. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Who is our teacher and who instructs us and who helps us, Lord God, in our time of need. We glorify you on tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for every person listening, Lord God, that we will have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying unto us on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. And not only will we hear what your Spirit is saying to us, but that we will be hearers and doers of your word, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and praise you for those who are going to be getting delivered tonight, Lord God. We thank you for those that are going to be set free tonight from any type of bondage, every type of bondage, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you in advance for it being done, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, because we know there is nothing too hard for you, Lord God. Hallelujah. You made us, Lord God. You know that we are dust, God. You know every fiber of our being. You even know how many hairs are on our bodies. So, God, you know every person that's on the line tonight in the chat room, Lord God, the live listeners. You know every person that needs to be delivered tonight, Lord God. And, Father, I ask, oh, God, that you will just bless them, heal them, deliver them, set them free tonight, Lord God, because of your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I just want to say thank you in advance, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for every person who may be listening and those in the archives, Lord God, who are secretly holding on to things, Lord God, and now they're ready to release it and let it go so that they may be healed. We pray for them tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we rebuke the spirit of fear, Lord God, because we know fear did not come from you, Father God. So we rebuke the spirit of fear and cast it into the lake, Lord God, of fire in the name of Jesus. We cast it into the sea, Lord God, and say that it will not come back again in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, Lord God, for healing tonight. I pray for healing tonight. I pray for healing tonight in the name of Jesus, in spirit, in body, in soul, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for complete deliverance. I thank you for healing tonight, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For the one that can't even say thank you tonight, I thank you for them, Lord God. For the one, Lord God, that doesn't even know what to do, I thank you for them tonight, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Open the door, Lord God, of their prison and let them come out tonight, Father God. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I just say thank you. I just glorify you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And everybody, listen, if you know somebody, if you know somebody that's been a victim of abuse, or if you're a victim yourself, you know, listen intently. Listen with your spiritual ears. If you know somebody else that's been abused, invite them to come to the broadcast tonight to listen to this mighty woman of God, Pastor Felicia, because I'm sure God has a sure enough word for you on tonight. Hallelujah. Or for someone that you may know. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. See, we don't want to be selfish. You know, we want to give the word to other people so that they can come out of bondage. Because, listen, I was in bondage myself for a long, long time. For a long time, just from hate and I wanted to get revenge on people. And I had unforgiveness. I was in bondage for a long time for those things, with those things. But God delivered me. Glory to God. And guess what? God is yet delivering me. So I'm not saying this word is just for whoever's listening. This word is for me too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because God knows exactly what we need. So without further ado, we're going to introduce Pastor Felicia of In Him Ministries. And we're going to turn the floor over to her. And I just pray that all of us get blessed, restored, healed, delivered, set free from whatever it is that we need to be delivered from, healed from, blessed and set free. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, Pastor Felicia.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I bless you, woman of God. Amen. Evangelist Scott, for having me here. Amen. I thank God for you and your husband. Amen. And I appreciate, amen, I give God all the glory and the honor. Amen. I thank God for what he is doing in the body of Christ, the remnant that he has raised up to go forth in Jesus' name, amen, to set the captives free. Amen. God wants us free on today. Amen. I won't be before you long. Amen. At this time, amen. I also want to give thanks. I thank God for my pastor. Amen. For all that he has done, his support. Amen. You know, I was in so much bondage. Amen. I have allowed the enemy to bind me up. But I just thank God, amen, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. At this time, let us turn to the book of Luke. Amen. The book of Luke, the 13th chapter, and we're going to read verses 10 through 17. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. In the book of Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 10, it says, "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over, and in no way raised herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, 'There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath.' The Lord then answered and said, 'Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan think of it for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?' And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him." And I just come before you all short to let you know that God has already loosed you. Amen. Be free from thy bondage. Amen. You are free from thy bondage. Amen. Being one who's been bound up for many years. Amen. Been a victim of sexual abuse. Been a victim of emotional abuse. Been a victim of physical abuse. God can and he will set you free. Amen. I just want to come and encourage somebody and say, be loose of that bondage. Amen. In Christ, we have been set free forever. We are no longer in bondage to our sins, our past, or our guilt, or anything else that we could name. Amen. When Jesus was on Calvary's cross, he said, "It is finished." Amen. But yet we have those who still live in bondage because they will not accept the freedom that is available to them in Christ Jesus. Amen. And in this passage, we see how he can set us free. Amen. And as we watch him deliver this sick woman from the bondage of her sickness, we can also get a picture of what he can do for us. Amen. If only we will come to him. Amen. So let's spend a few times on tonight. Amen. And share some thoughts. Amen, that Jesus desires, amen, he has already set you free, amen.
Amen.
This woman, she was afflicted physically, amen, she was afflicted physically. This was a woman who was in severe physical pain, amen, her body was bent double at the waist, amen, and surely every day was a struggle. Have you been there? Amen. She found herself in a physical condition that prevented her from looking up. Amen. She could not, by her own power, amen, overcome her condition. And sadly today, we have many that have found themselves in a spiritual state in which they cannot even look up. Amen. Totally unable to see past the torment that they are in and that they are experiencing in their lives. Amen. But I want you to know that if you are on the Lord's side, amen, even your afflictions are a part of his plan for your life. Amen. Remember, God said that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. Amen. God can work everything out in your situation. Amen. I don't care what you have been through. I don't care what you have done. God has the power to free you on tonight. Amen. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God wants to free you from that bondage. Amen. She was not only bound up, amen, afflicted physically, but she was attacked spiritually. Amen. She was attacked spiritually. In verse 16, it let us know that this woman was an Israelite. Amen. This woman was a believer, yet she is under the attack of the enemy. Amen. And Satan has her bound, and he has caused her body to be broken by her affliction. Amen. And I want you to know that even saved people can be attacked by the devil. Amen. Yes. And there are many people in the body of Christ who walk in bondage day in and day out, amen, from church service to church service, from Bible study to Bible study, who are walking around bound up, amen, by those sins, by those things that hinder them from doing the work of God, amen. I don't care what you are in, amen, those secret sins, amen, if you have allow them or continue to allow them to be in your life, amen, Satan will keep you bound, amen. Now, we need to understand that no saint of God can be demon-possessed, amen. I want you to understand that no saint of God can be possessed by demons, amen. Note that Jesus did not cast out any demons here, amen, but he merely spoke to her condition. Amen. She was not demon possessed. She was demon oppressed. Amen. And most of the time, our illnesses, amen, are those things that we allow to bind us, are just that which is part of our human experiences. Amen. And so let's not blame everything on the devil on today. Amen. A lot of it comes from us holding on to things that God has already delivered us from. Amen. So the point here is that us as believers, we can come under the attack of the enemy. Amen. He will seek ways to bind us in our lives. He will seek ways to hinder us from being all that God wants us to be. Amen. He wants to stop us from going where God has called us to go. Amen. So I just want to ask you a question. What has you bound on this evening? Amen. Is it sin? Amen. What about those secret sins that you think nobody knows about? Amen. That you can't even go tell anybody about? Amen. Is it bitterness? Is it temptation? Is it hatred? Is it that unforgiveness? Is it that guilt? Is it that addiction, those cigarettes, that alcohol? Amen. Is it that lust? Is it that pornography, envy, greed? Amen. What has you bound? Could it be religion? Amen. Could it be your fear? Amen. Your finances? Amen. But the list can go on and on forever. But the fact is that anything and everything, even the good things of life, can and will be used by the enemy to try and bind you up. Amen. They will try to hinder you. Amen. He will try to devastate our lives if only we allow him to. Amen. That's the key. We allow him. We give him access. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He was also affected socially. Amen. And no doubt, because of her condition, the woman was considered to be some type of freak. Amen. She was an oddity. Amen. She was different. She was laughed at. Amen. She was imitated. Amen. Mm. She was an outcast. And she was probably unwanted, unloved, and uncared for. Mm. Amen. She was the kind of person that you would avoid on the street. Amen. She's walking on one side, you across the street and walk on the other. Amen. She was a social pariah. Amen. And she knew the pain of rejection. Amen. And some of you, hallelujah, are afflicted in that same manner on this evening. Amen. Okay. And I want you to be aware, not allow your rejection to become bitterness. Amen. If you allow that rejection to become bitterness in your life, the enemy will use it to keep you trapped, to keep you bind up. Amen. If you allow him to. Amen. Before we move on in this passage, I want to point out some things about this woman. Amen. To me, she is one of the most powerful pictures of faith and faithfulness in the New Testament. Amen. She has been in this condition, I want you to note, for 18 years. Mm-hmm. And although that she has been in this condition for 18 years, she continued to go to the synagogue every day. I mean, every time it was open, amen. So this tells me that she has attended some 1,000 meetings, amen. She has been sick for 18 years, but she continued, my God, to press on, amen. She has not been healed, but yet she believes in God, amen. She prays, but even when it seems like God is not going to answer her prayer, she remains faithful, amen. She comes to the service, amen. And in spite of the fact that no one would think a thing about her if she did not come to the service, she still continued to press on, amen. She has suffered for many years while God had only watched, amen. But she still continued to remain faithful. And what a rebuke she is to the mentality that abounds today. Amen. Now, we have a headache, many of us. We are misservice. Amen. Nope. We're we'll run to the medicine cabinet, or we'll go to the drugstore and we'll try to get some type of relief, something that'll knock that pain out. Amen. But here we have a woman. Hallelujah. She was bent over, double. Amen. But yet she still continued to go to the house of God to worship. Amen. See, we allow the slightest bump in the road in our life to stop us or to hinder us or to derail us and cause us to want to throw in the towel. But yet this woman, she was persistent. Hallelujah, in her faith, even when life didn't go her way. Amen, because she loved the Lord. Hallelujah, she loved the Lord, her God. And I think she continued faith because she knew that God knew what was best for her. Amen. I think and believe she believed in her heart that God will one day answer her prayers. Amen. I think she knew the truth that God was worthy of her worship. Amen. She knew that God was worthy of her praise, whether he even touched her or not. She loved him, and she will worship him in spite of the obstacles that she faced, in spite of what come her way, in spite of who rejected her, who turned away. She still trusted God. Amen. And I believe she says, Lord, if you don't do another thing for me, you are still worthy of my praise. Amen.
Wow.
If I never get healed, you are still worthy of the glory. If I remain in this state until the day of my death, you are still God, and you are still God all by yourself, and I still worship you. Amen. And she was committed. Hallelujah. She was committed to the Lord. She was consistent. Amen. She wasn't wavering in her faith. Amen. But she was steadfast. She was unmovable. She was always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. Are we that committed on today? Hallelujah. Are we consistent? Hallelujah. Are we faithful? Are we that steadfast? Amen. Hallelujah. I just wanted to touch on that. Amen. She continued to trust God. Amen. I don't care what you've been through, what you're going, what you think you can't be delivered from. I command you. I dare you to continue to trust God. Amen. I dare you to continue to worship God. I dare you to continue to praise God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
This woman wasn't, hallelujah, the only one, hallelujah, who came to the synagogue to worship. She wasn't the only one. Amen. But on this particular day, Jesus Christ was in attendance. Hallelujah. He came to worship as well. Hallelujah. Amen. Just imagine if she hadn't gone to service for that day. Amen. The Bible says in verse 12 that he saw her. I want to let you all know that whatever condition, whatever you are going through, whatever is coming your way, that God sees you. Amen. Jesus sees you. Amen. So in the Bible it says he saw her. Jesus had went to the house of God to worship, and he knew that genuine worship involved more than merely just sitting in one place. Amen. Worship was more than an experience of the head. Amen. It was an experience of the heart that found reaction in the hands. Amen. You see, too many of us, we come to church and we sit in the pews and we shift our brains into neutral and we just glide through the service, amen, day in and day out, amen. It becomes habitual, it just becomes something that we do. We know when to say amen, we know when to say hallelujah, amen, we know when to say glory to God, amen. We have become comfortable, amen, and we are neither moved or being moved by what the experience. Amen, that come across in the church. We are not moved by the message. We are not moved by the music, amen, but we just glide through service, amen. But genuine, pure worship occurs when our belief moves from our head or in our minds, amen, down to our hearts, amen. And once it moves from our head down to our hearts, amen, and then it'll move out through our hands, amen. I want you to understand that whatever is on the inside of you will come out, amen. And time that is spent in church that doesn't move your heart and motivate your hands is not worship, amen. It is just time that you spend in church, amen. So many times we want to blame the preacher or we want to blame that church, but most oftentimes it is us. Amen. Most often it is us. Our relationship with God begins with us. It begins with you. Amen. Remember that God is a spirit. Amen. And God, his worshipers, we worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And this comes through relationship. Amen. You cannot wait to go to church to establish a relationship. It begins at home. Amen. You can pray at home. You can worship at home. You can study at home. You can speak to God at home. But you must establish that personal, intimate relationship with God. Amen. And the more you spend time with him, the more you will develop a close personal relationship. Amen. And when you do that, God will show up on your behalf. Amen. She received a compassionate word. Amen. It says when Jesus saw her, he called her
yes.
to come to him.
Yes.
Amen. He called her to come to him. Now, when she had struggled her way to where he was, he spoke to her, and he called her woman. Hallelujah.
Woman.
Now, what a word of compassion. What a word of compassion. Here was a woman whose beauty had long gone. Amen. He had faded. People did not see her as a woman, but they saw her as a freak. They saw her as an outcast. They saw her as a mockery. Amen. They saw her used up. They saw her as pitiful. And probably they looked upon her in disgust. Amen. But they walked right past her. But yet Jesus saw her. And he saw her as a woman. Amen. Others may not have recognized her significance, but Jesus did. Amen. He loved her like she was. I don't care what you're going through. People may see you and call you a crackhead. People may see you and call you a prostitute. People may see you and call you a whore. Monger or a pimp or whatever you got going on in your life or whatever your past life is, but I'm come to tell you that God has called you woman. God has called you man. Amen. He knows who you are. Amen. He sees a value in you. Amen. So others may not recognize your significance, but Jesus did. He loved her like he was. God loves you like you are. Amen.
Hallelujah.
No one around you may not recognize your value, but Jesus does. Amen. He doesn't see you for the problems that you bear, but he doesn't see you in the light of your past. Amen. He doesn't see you or your troubles or your scars, but he sees you what you can become through his matchless grace, through his power, by his anointing. Amen. He sees what he can do in you. Amen. He can see what he can do to you and through you. Amen. He sees you as significant. You are special, and you are honorable in his sight. Amen. And then once he called her a woman, he then began to speak these words to her soul. Amen. He says, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Mm-hmm. Amen. And what she had tried and what she had failed to do, Jesus did with just a word. Amen. All that she has tried. Amen. I don't know about you. It may be something just you know how you look for love in all the wrong places. Amen.
Yeah.
We look to find a fulfillment. We look in all the wrong places. We look in the alcohol bottle. We look in the crack. We look in the marijuana. We look in men. Amen. We look in women. Amen. Pornography. But I just want to let you know, hallelujah, Jesus is all you need. Amen. Yes, are you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, thou art loosed from thy infirmity.
Yeah.
Amen. And what he had tried to do and she had failed, Jesus did, was just the word. Now, what she or anyone could never accomplish, Jesus did with just a word. I don't know what has you bound this evening. Amen. And I don't know what type of past that you have or what type of past that you are fighting or what type of sins or secret sins you may be in right now. I don't know what kind of emotional demons that may haunt you day to day. Amen. Even me being a rape victim. Amen. Overcomer of rape. Amen. God, there are still times where the enemy tried to throw things my way, bring up past hurts, past memories, amen, trying to attack me in my dreams, amen. But I want you to know that you are loosed, amen. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, amen.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about the valleys. I don't know about the burdens, but I do know who does. Hallelujah, amen. I know that if you would just come to him when he calls, amen,
yes.
that he can speak a word of liberty that
yes.
will free you, set you free from all that hinders you, from all that keeps you bound, from all that tried to stop you. Amen. He didn't save you to leave you in bondage, but he saved you to set you free. So therefore, when the Son sets free, you shall be free indeed. God said it in his word. So he is not slack concerning his promises towards his children. I just want you to know if God said it, it is. So,
hallelujah.
Amen. It shall be established. Hallelujah. Amen. She received a comprehensive work. Now, this miracle that Jesus performed for this woman, it was speedy. The Bible says immediately. Hallelujah. Amen. Mm-hmm. It was speedy, perfect. It was public. It was permanent. And it was internalized. Amen. It was hard to deny. Amen. He affected the cure. Now, after Jesus had spoke, he had touched her. And it says immediately she stood straight. Amen. No longer was she forced to shuffle about from place to place. No longer was she never able to look up. No longer did she was bent over. Amen. No longer was she the butt of any jokes. Amen. But she had been healed immediately. Amen. I want you to know that Jesus has done for her. He has the power to do the same for you. Amen. He can break you from the bonds that hold you down, and he can set you free. Amen. And you just need to his touch in your life. Amen. You need to come to him. Amen. He is calling on you, and you need to come to him. And immediately, hallelujah, he is able to set you free. He is able to deliver you, amen, from that bond, things that hinder you, those things that bind you up. I don't care what it is. Amen. But God can, and he will. Amen. Hallelujah. This woman's affliction, hallelujah, it was caused by Satan. Amen. And Jesus rebuked the influence of the devil in her life, and he has set her free. Amen. And he waits to do the same for you. Hallelujah. He wants to deliver you from the bondage of your hurt. Amen. He wants to deliver you, hallelujah, from your emotional scars. Hallelujah. He wants to set you free from the pain and the isolation that you may feel. Hallelujah. He wants to deliver you. Amen. There are many pastors. I don't know if you guys know many pastors that are walking around bound up because of the isolation that they feel because they can't go to people. Hallelujah. With some of the things that they have that are binding them up and that they are hindered from. Amen. But I just want to let you know that God has the power to set you free from that pain or from that isolation that you heal. Amen. God has the power to heal you from those emotional scars. Amen. Our enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil all delight in keeping you in bondage. Amen. Because when we are bound, we are useless to the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
And contribute to the kingdom. Hallelujah. The work that God has called us to do. Amen. But Jesus has a plan to set you free. Amen. And we need to come to him. We need to get to him. Amen. But it is on you. Amen. God is not going to force you to do anything. He is calling you. Amen. But you need to make that step to come to him, to give it all over, to turn it all over to him, to give it whatever it is that got you bound on today. Amen. And God, you know, he addressed critics. Don't even worry about who's looking. Don't worry about who's going to say what. God will address the critics. Amen. When this miracle had occurred, the people in the synagogue, they had began to rejoice as well. They should have. Amen. In verse 17, amen, we see that the rulers of the synagogue, they told the people that they could be healed of any of the other 6 days of the week, amen, and they were implying that the Sabbath was more important than the needs of the people, amen, but see, we have Jesus here, he rebuked this, amen, and he told the man that he was placing the needs of the animals above the needs of the people. Amen. So God, he will address your critics. Amen. And here we also have Jesus also. He tells them that he is a hypocrite. Amen. He loves religion more than he loves God. Amen. Or God. Amen. There are many people that are bound up in the body of Christ. You see people come in and they are so sick. They are so bound up physically. Amen. There are too many. It should not be as many sick people in their health issues in the body of Christ. I'm sorry. Amen. But you have so many people who are bound up physically and emotionally. Amen. But God, you know, God, amen, he wants to set us free on today. Amen. I want you to know when this man went to the house of God, he was concerned about his religion and his reputation. Amen. And so when Jesus went, Jesus saw other needs. Amen. He saw others and their needs. Amen. The ruler of the synagogue was determined to carry out his religion without being distracted by the needs that were around him. But Jesus, on the other hand, amen, he was always looking for how he could help those around him. Amen. He was about his Father's business. Amen. And we need to be about our Father's business. Amen. Yes. In this day and age. Amen. See, the thing to remember is that Jesus still has the same power in his touch Amen. If you are lost, he has the power to save you. If you are hurting, whether it be emotionally, whether it be spiritually or physically, he has the power to heal you. Amen. If you are bound up this evening, amen, by the many things that come against God's children, he has the power to touch you. Amen. He has the power to set you free. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
You know, the once you allow God access into your life to take those things that bind you up, the transformation, amen, can take place. Amen. You will be free, amen, delivered and healed from whatever is binding you, amen. And then you can rejoice, amen. She was healed externally. Life would never be the same for her again, amen. Her condition had forever been changed. She was whole, she was straight, and she was free from the bondage of her condition. Amen. And that is the power of his touch. Amen. It is a life-changing touch. Amen. It is powerful. Amen. So when he touches you, he straightens out whatever is wrong in your life. Amen. And he gives you his healing, and you will never be the same again. Amen. You see, when Jesus, when he heals the heart, it always affects the outer man as well. Amen. It is the it is in the mind that real change is affected. Amen. When the inner man is made whole, the outer man shows the fruit of that work. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. She was healed emotionally. This poor woman, she was shamed, she was broken. She stood up and straight and began to praise God. Amen. She began to praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Her pain had been replaced with his praise. Hallelujah. Amen. I can imagine all the murmuring and complaining, all the things that she wanted to say had been replaced, hallelujah, with praise. Amen. Her shame had been replaced with a shout. Amen. He had touched her. Amen. Now she was set free. Amen. And the verb here indicates that her praise was going on in nature. Amen. And she had just kept on lifting up her voice and praise to God above. Amen. And I want you to know what grace that can replace our bondage with the glorious freedom to be found in Jesus Christ. Amen. When we experience his touch, hallelujah, when he breaks the bonds that hold us, that keeps us bound, when he set us free from the scars, when he set us free from the pains and the trials in our life, he replaces our gloom with his glory. Amen. Yes. So when the Lord sets you free, you don't have to worry about it. Amen. You just give him the praise that is just due unto him. Amen. Just begin to worship him, just to give him all the honor and all the glory that is due unto him. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So everything I just said this evening has been designed, hallelujah, to let you know that Jesus Christ cares about you. Amen. He has a plan to help you. Amen. He has a plan to deliver you, to set you free. Amen. He wants to set you free from everything, everything. I don't care if you think it's too much. He has the plans to set you free from everything that binds you on today.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I want you to notice that Jesus made the first move, amen, and he's making a move on you now, amen, hallelujah. He called her to come to him, and she responded to his call, amen, and she came to him, and she got the help that she needed immediately, amen. So is he calling on you today, amen? Is there something in your life that has you bound? Amen. Some past hurts. Amen. You may have been molested. You may have been raped. Amen. You may be on drugs. Amen. Or some secret sin. You may be dealing in pornography or lust or whatever it is that got you bound. Amen. Some guilt over some things that may have happened long ago. Amen. Unforgiveness and bitterness. Amen. Maybe you just need to come to him for the very first time. Amen. And if you do, amen, if you take heed to his call, he will save you, amen, and he will set you free, and he will deliver you if you come, amen. So when will we ever learn that the only way to get help when we need from our Lord is to go about it his way, amen? We can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our in our own might, in our own power, amen, but we must do it his way, amen, and that is when he calls, we are to come to him, amen. When he calls, we are to respond, and when we do, we are promised that he will be there to meet us, amen, and he will help us get the healing and the deliverance, amen, and be free, amen, whatever we need in our lives, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I just want to ask you all, come to him. God has the power to heal you on today, but you must come Amen. You must come. You must get your deliverance. You must be set free. Amen. Don't worry about anybody around you. Don't worry about what people may say, what people may do, what people may think. Amen. But just take heed to the voice of the Lord. Amen. And that is all I want to say on this evening. Amen. I turn it back over to you, Evangelist Todd. Amen. I thank you all. Amen. I pray that someone was blessed on this evening.
Amen. I know I was. I don't know about anybody else, but I know that this word is so, it's so freeing. It's just amazing that this word came forth tonight. I thank God because we did not discuss this. We didn't discuss this at all. But I thank God for how he just used you to expand that word for me because the women's ministry that I have, that God has given me, we use that same scripture. We use that same scripture. And just the way God expanded it, like, and just listening to the things that you were saying, of how I never thought about that, how, you know, her being bent over for 18 years, how people would probably were ridiculing her, you know, and talking about her and, you know, treating her as an outcast and rejecting her and all of that stuff. That's amazing because I never even got that deeply involved with it to that level. But, I mean, now you got my mind thinking about it, like I'm picturing this woman, you know, bent mm-hmm. over, and not just for a week or a month or a year, for 18 years, you know, for 18 mm-hmm. years. And, you know, back in the day, you know, people like her, they were considered outcasts, you know, like the lepers. They had to sit outside the gate and said, unclean, unclean, unclean. I just can't even imagine mm-hmm. what this woman went through since, you know, God even expanded that understanding to me on tonight. So if the broadcast wasn't for anybody else, I know it was for me because, I mean, just opened up my understanding so much more because I never looked at it from that perspective. I mean, I looked at it from the perspective that she was in the temple when Jesus was teaching, and when he called her, he heard her, and she obeyed and came to him, and he spoke to her and said, "Woman, thou art loose," and then he put his hands on her, and immediately she was made whole. All of that mm-hmm. I got, but the aspect that you were talking about of how she was rejected and how people talked yeah. about her, you know, and just despised her and ridiculed her, and, you know, you said at one point that she probably was walking on the street and people on the same side of the street went on the other side so they wouldn't even have to walk past her. You know, that kind of stuff will make you bitter. That kind of stuff will make you angry. That kind of stuff can make you, you know, unforgiving and hateful. But like you said, that woman kept going. She kept going to hear the word. She kept going to hear the word. She kept going to hear the word. And at her appointed time, Jesus saw her and he called her to himself. Oh, my gosh, that is like, you just don't know what that did to me. That just did so much to me and did so much for me on tonight. I thank God for that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I guess that's why what happened today when I came home from work so I could receive this word for myself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to play this thing again. I'm going to play this in the archives. I'm going to play this thing over and over again. And I'm also going to send it to some people so they can listen to it because this is a word of real freedom. You know, and our broadcast is about being free in the spirit. If people have ears to hear, they can get free from listening to this word.
Evangelist, I just want to say one thing. I had to repent because I had a thing with the homosexuals. You know, we see the homosexuals in the church. Amen. They're faithful. Amen. They, you know, they keep coming. They worship and they do the work of the Lord. And I had this thing. I had this hatred about them, but they keep coming. Amen. But and many oftentimes we see them in there, but no one offers them deliverance. Amen.
My Lord.
No one. A lot of times we treat them like they're like you said, unclean. Amen. Or we excuse it or we ignore it. Amen. But we need to, as a body of Christ, begin to speak out against those demons. Amen. Let them know. Amen, that they are loved. Amen, we say that we love them, but we hate to act, but do we really?
Right,
amen,
right.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, many a time, a lot of them have been molested, a lot of them have been abused in church.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Abused mm-hmm. in church by pastors and leaders, amen. So I had to repent to the Lord because I had, you know, this thing against the homosexuals, and I can admit that, amen, and it changed my whole insight. When you know, I go to the Rape Crisis Center, and I talk to women and different men that have been abused, amen, and just to see the hurt and the pain, a lot of them do not want to be in that lifestyle, amen, mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that as well, and if there is anyone, in that lifestyle. God wants to set you free on today. Amen. I just wanted to share this church. Amen. I had to repent. I had to repent because I was treating them like an outcast. I was rejecting them. Amen. I was calling them names. Amen. And I'm not going to share the names on over the air, but you guys
know. Yeah, we pretty much know what you're talking about. And I think a lot of people need to repent, myself included, need to repent. No, not just about the homosexuals and the lesbians and the, you know, the transgendered, but we need to repent about how we treat those with disabilities in the body of Christ. We mistreat them and treat them as outcasts. You can look at people with disabilities in mainstream churches. I'm not talking about a church that's built up and their main ministry is for people with disabilities. But you look at mainstream churches and people with disabilities are treated as outcasts. I mean, my husband, who is a Bishop Scott, and he's on the phone right now, he's in a wheelchair. And I tell you, even in the body of Christ, even in church, when we go to church, and I'm with him, he could have on his clergy shirt, and he have his Bible in his hand, and rolling down the street in his little blue Cadillac, you know, that's what I call his wheelchair, and he will get in the church, and people will still treat him like an outcast. To me, it's like, I don't understand it. Like, you see, there is nothing wrong with his mind. He has a very, very loud voice. So you can hear him coming from any area, north, south, east, or west. You can hear him. His body is just a little bit, you know, jacked up. It's just a little bit out of proportion. It's just a little bit, you know, not right, according to us. But God still uses him, and we cast people aside like they're trash. Like you said about that lady, people just rejected her because she was bent over. You know, how many people stop to ask, even my husband when he's riding down the street, how many people stop to ask him, you know, is there anything I could do for you? You know, people, I don't understand, like, how people really, why do we treat each other like this in the body of Christ? Because somebody's deaf, we feel like they can't be, you know, a pastor because they're deaf. We feel like they can't be on the choir because they're deaf. Why? They're going to mess up everybody's notes. You know, everybody can't, I can't sing this, but I don't want them in the choir because they're deaf. You know, whatever the case is, even people, like you said, people are bound up by their past. But even people that know about our past sometimes, they want to, you know, restrict us or they want to segregate us. You know what I'm saying? I've experienced that, so I know what I'm talking about. You know, people knew some things about me from my past, and even to this day, they have not yet repented to God, and they still treat me like the person who I was years ago. Won't even give me a chance in ministry because they still hold on to who they knew I was years ago. You know what I'm saying? So the thing that you said about how they treated her like an outcast, I identify with that thing so tough, it's not even funny. And it's a shame that we call ourselves believers. It's a shame that we call ourselves Christians. It's a shame that we call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ, and we treat each other like this within the body. We're not talking about how the world treats us, but within the body. Because just like you said about that, the man that Jesus called him a hypocrite, he was in the temple. He was there listening too. But he was pious. He had a religious spirit. You know, and, you're going to heal her on the Sabbath day? You know, what kind of stuff is that? Like you say, he put the animals over the woman. Over the woman. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I got a whole new understanding of the scripture. I thank God you won't even understand. Like, I'm flying over here. I really am. And I thank God. You don't know what this really helped me so much. Oh my gosh. If anybody is in the chat room, if you want to call, you can call area code 323-693-3054. Area code 323-693-3054.
Evangelist Mattis, interject something right quick. This is your husband, Bishop Scott, and I want to thank Pastor Felicia for that wonderful interpretation of that very ancient and very used scripture, but you put a different twist on it, you emphasize different things that I think than a lot of people do. I'm going to say this, that the most intolerant group of people are Christians. Look at all the people that you discussed this tonight. Disabled, homosexuals, people who had a past that was not always reputable, how they still are being talked about. It's never really forgotten. It's never really let go. It follows them all their lives. The church is the most intolerant group of people. I used to say, in fact, it used to be said, and I repeat it often, that the most segregated hours in mankind, really, for the week, are the hours between 11 and 1 on a Sunday morning. You know, black folk go to the black church, and the white folk go to the white church, and now we have disabled churches, and we have homosexual churches, and we're the most segregated people. We have Methodists and Baptists and Pentecostal and, you know, Episcopalian and Presbyterian, Catholic, and all the rest of the denominations. We just segregate ourselves. We're not one in Christ. At the day of Pentecost, which we celebrated on Sunday, the common thread was they all came together on one accord. We don't come together on one accord. We're different denominations. We have different churches that serve different people. Mm-hmm. I mean, where is that one accord? Where is the Christ in this? Where is the Christianity in this? The church has really done Christ a disservice. And that's why the world looks at us and looks at us with a very suspicious eye, because they don't see any love. We talk about we love each other and love thy neighbor and love thy enemy and all of the things that we parrot, because that's what we're supposed to say, but we don't practice it. We don't practice it, not in reality.
Mm-hmm.
The church is one of the most, I know there are ministers, even on TV, that preach against socialism and people helping other people and all this type of thing, and they keep on saying, child born and we all got to take care of them. Well, let me tell you something. The first century church, that's what they did. They sold their property, they sold their possession, and fed and met the needs of the people, those that were poor, those that were downtrodden. They took care of the orphans. They took care of the widows. That's what the first century church did. That's what distinguished them from every other religion. Because we cared about each other. Even Christ said, this is how they're going to know you, that you love one another. Not that you know all the books of the Bible, not that you can quote from Genesis all the way to Revelation, that you know every scripture, every chapter, every verse. No, none of that matters. Not that you work miracles or even that you work healings. Well, what did 1 Corinthians 13 said? What does it profit you? If you can be burned at the stake, if you do miracles and have no love, it profits you nothing. Not in the kingdom. You get a reputation on earth. Yeah, you have a 35,000-member church because you do those things. People will watch you on TV and listen to your radio program if you do those things. But in the heavenlies, Christ, through the Father in heaven, does not look at this as something worthy of honor because you didn't do it in love. The church has to go back to love. One of the churches in the book of Revelation, he said, you've lost your first love. And the first love, if you look at the book of Ephesians, it tells you exactly, that's the church he's talking to in Revelation, the church of Ephesus. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5, you'll see exactly what the church was accommodated for by the Apostle Paul. He said two things. One, that you have faith in Christ, and the other is that you love one another. That's the first love.
That's right.
We have walked away from our first love. Both in faith in God, but more just as important, because even Christ said, if it's equal, what does the commandment say? On these two commandments, saying all the law and the prophets. What is that? That you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and you love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, saying all the law and all the prophets. Now, we pride ourselves in trying to lift up our love and proclaim our love for God. But John says this, if you say you love God and hate your brother, you're a liar.
That's right.
You're a liar. Because how can you love God whom you've never seen and hate your brother who you see every day? You're a liar. The truth's not in you. We better go back to the old landmark. We better go back to the first century church. We better read the book of Acts again. In the early century church, historians, we better look at those pages and read those pages again and again and again and return back to those days where people were tolerant and more than tolerant. They were accepting of everyone. And just like you said, I love what you said, instead of scorning those who are homosexual or have different lifestyles than ourselves, instead of scorning them and talking about them and abusing them verbally and speaking all evil against them, we need to bring them back into the fold. Many of them have been abused. Many of them abused in their own family, let alone the church. An uncle or an aunt or even a mother or a father has abused them. That's going to twist your mind towards sex. That's going to make you become look at sex in a perverted, in a non-righteous way. Because a non-righteous
right.
thing was done to you.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I didn't mean to say all this, but I did mean to say all this, but that's what the Lord told me to say. But we have to we have to look at ourselves closer. We have to examine ourselves. And yes, I believe that we should live a holy life and a righteous life. I strive every day to do that more and more every single day. But as we're doing that, let's embrace what holiness really means in its full sense. It's not just don't do this and don't do that and don't act this way and fornication and homosexuality and adultery and murder and thievery and all of that. It's that, yes, it's that, but it's more than that. It's loving one another. It's caring for one another.
Amen.
It's sharing with one another. It's tolerating the differences that we have amongst one another and embracing one another. And if the world shuns me, I should be able to go to the house of God and be received. If the world denies me, I should go into God's presence and God's people and find a resolution to my problem, not to have the door of God shut on me, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I turn to drugs, I'm really going to be bad. But now look at them. Look what they're doing now. But if you would have embraced me, if you would have accepted me, if you would have loved me, would that have been different? My end result would have been different if the church would have been more outreaching?
All right. Amen.
Sitting in the walls and all of this type of thing? We got to look at ourselves. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Pastor Felicia?
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
No, I was just wanting to know if you had a comment.
No, man, he speaks. I love to hear him speak. I listen to him on Jesus in the Morning. And you too. But it's so true. I can't say nothing but just say glory to God. Amen. That's so true. We got to have love. We have to bring that love back in the body of Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
And it takes patience and, you know, we just got to do it. We talk about it, but we just got to do it. If it just takes one, we can't wait around on the next man. You know, just do what the Lord has called us to do, and the rest will fall in line.
Yeah,
amen.
Obedience is better. Obedience is better. And like you just said, you know, don't just talk about it, but be about it. We got to go ahead and be about, you know, be about the gospel. Nobody, you can say you love somebody all day long, but if you don't show them that you love them, you might as well just keep your mouth quiet. And, you know, I heard you say that you had to repent about the way you treated the same-sex, the people that, you know, believe in same-sex stuff. And our president, the president of the United States and the vice president of the United States have endorsed same-sex marriage. And I was just talking to somebody about that today. I was like, I would never vote for him. I would never vote for him for endorsing such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I still mean what I said. Mm-hmm. I still mean it. I still mean it because I don't endorse it. I mean, we know that some people that are in same-sex relationships, they were abused. They were sexually abused. One of the people comes to my mind is Donnie McClurkin and how God had to heal him because he was, you know, sexually abused by males in his family. And
right.
We do have to understand that. But we do have to understand and make sure that we're not condoning, you know, what is being done. And a lot of people are looking for people to pat them on the back and condone. Okay, baby, you know, because you've been abused, yes, honey, it's okay that you live this lifestyle. No, we're supposed to love them and tell them the truth. It's the word of God that's going to set them free, you know, not shunning them and not you know, mistreating them, that's not what's going to set them free. In fact, that's going to put them more in bondage. So, again, you know, I thank God for that word. Like, I'm just overwhelmed about the word. And I wish somebody else would call in and say something. Minister Bonnie, you're on the line. You haven't called in. Minister Bonnie said, we have to truly get it right. God didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. And, you know, the I'm just have to say it this way. The gay community hates when someone says that. They don't like that because, and some of them, you know, the enemy will rise up in some of them and say, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about homosexuality. It doesn't speak anything against homosexuality. Yes, it does. You just don't want to see it because you want to stay in your sin. You want to stay in what you're doing. The same thing, you know, about with us. No matter what the sin is, we harp on, my husband says all the time, we harp on homosexuality. You know, we harp on the big things. But like you said earlier, what about the secret stuff? What about the stuff nobody knows you're doing? What about, you know, when you go home from church, you know, you got that secret pill bottle and you taking those pills. What about that secret liquor bottle that you have, you know, that nobody knows about? Nobody knows you're an alcoholic. They don't really know. And if they knew it, they would be shocked. You know, and it's a lot of people doing that because they're hurt. And you don't have people like yourself. You don't have people like my husband. You don't have a lot of people like myself that are willing, you know, to open up our closet. You know, and look, these are the skeletons that are in my closet. This is what happened to me. Yes, I'm going to tell you. I have had people on my Facebook page tell me you shouldn't tell people that. You shouldn't tell me. Why? I want them to be free just like I got free. Why? You know, why shouldn't I tell them? I'm not saying it for a pity party. I'm saying it so you can get free just like you did tonight. You know, you said you were raped. You know, and that's not an easy thing to get over. That's not an easy thing to get over. I was raped, and when I told people about it, they treated me like an outcast. The first thing out their mouth was, oh, well, you must have had something to do with it. That was the first thing out of the pastor's mouth when I told him, oh, you must have had something to do with it. Now, go home and tell your husband, and whatever happens, happens. Why, as a pastor, as a man of God, you supposed to say that to somebody? No counseling. You know, no help. This is why you got a lot of people falling away from the church and a lot of people backsliding, because the love of God is not evident in a lot of places of worship. You know, people are offering up strange fire to the Lord. Just because you hick a Messiah and help me tie my bow tie and all that stuff, that don't mean anything. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You can stay there all day and all night long, but it's the heart that God looks at. It's the heart. It's the inward thing that God is looking at. The outward appearance, God's not impressed with our outward appearance. It's the hidden man of the heart, the hidden heart of the man that God is looking at. He says, oh, yeah, the outside of the sepulcher is nice and white, but the inside is full of death. It's just dead stuff in there. It's just stinking and nasty. And we thinking because we can speak in tongues, you know, we can, you know, dance throughout the whole church, you know, when you get out of church, oh, child, you got happy in church today. I used to hate when people say that. You got happy in church today because somebody shouted, but what did you get from the word? What did the man say? What does the woman say? You know, it's like this broadcast. We can listen to this broadcast tonight and just cast it away. That's why when the broadcast, before the broadcast came on, I prayed and I said, God, don't let this word, let it fall on good ground. Don't let the enemy come and pluck this word after we done heard it, because the cares of the world will come and just pluck this word right on out, and we done forgot, you know, what we heard. But I'm asking God to seal this word in the name of Jesus, seal this word in each one of us that have heard it, those of us that have been victims, those of us that were the one that was causing people problems. Some people may be listening, they might have been a rapist. Some people that are listening, maybe they were a murderer. Some maybe they were, you know, whatever, a backbiter, a liar, a thief, whatever the case is. But just like Pastor Felicia said tonight, you can be free. You can be free. You can be free. There's some things that some people are still holding on to, and they just refuse to tell God that this is really the true issue, and they still bound up. They still bound up. They still go to church every Sunday and stand behind that pulpit. And, yeah, God will use you to get somebody else free. Yeah, God will use you to help somebody else. But then, look, why preach to everybody else and you go to hell? Why preach to everybody else and you walking around bowed like that lady? bowed over like that lady. But you telling everybody else they need to be free, and you're not even free. So those are people I want to minister to tonight and want this word that you spoke to minister to tonight, that come on now. Just because you're in a pulpit don't mean that you got to stay bound. Come on and get free. Come on and let yourself get free. Jesus is right here, like you said, beckoning you to come. He sees you. He know what you're dealing with. He know why you got to keep going in there and getting that secret pill bottle. He know why you got prescription drugs in 6 or 7 different names.
Because
you don't want nobody to know that is you. You know, he know why, you know, you happy-go-lucky if you, you know, I'm helping my neighbor, and I know my neighbor's alcoholic, but I'm trying to minister to them. So I'm going to go to the store for them and get them some alcohol. But secretly, you got you a fifth of E&J underneath your car seat.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want nobody to know that you bought yourself a fifth of liquor. Now you riding around the city going, sitting in a party, drinking your booze. Somewhere you know nobody going to see you. And God wants you to be free. You got homosexual pastors. They preaching against homosexual. They preaching against all this other stuff. And they in the pulpit. And as soon as they get home or wherever they go, they out there with their secret lover. You know that song. And I'm saying, I mean, what is the problem? And Pastor Felicia's call dropped, so I hope she can get back on. But the bottom line is, we got to examine ourselves, too. There's so many of us that are need to be free from some other things. We need to be free from some other things. Okay? Other things. It's not just about the homosexual. God wants to heal us all. He wants to heal everything. Whatever it is that's keeping us bound, he wants to heal us. I want to be healed from procrastination. I want to be delivered from procrastination. I want to be delivered from that. I want to be delivered. There's some things that I'm still praying, asking God to deliver me. Just like that lady, she for 18 years was looking for a cure, but she still praised God. She still praised God, Minister Bonnie. She still praised God. And guess what? I'ma still praise God. I'ma still praise God. You know, no matter what, people still reject us, Pastor Felicia. They still reject us. Man, men still rejecting us simply because we are a woman. You can't preach here because you're a woman. You know, all this foolishness going around. You can't preach here because you're a woman. You can't stand on my pulpit. If you come, we're going to announce you as an evangelist because you can't be a pastor. You can't be a this and you can't be a that. So you cannot stand on the pulpit. You got to stand on the floor with the rest of the common people. What? Some of us pastors need to be delivered from pride, need to be delivered from arrogance. But guess what? You've been walking around in it so long, God still can deliver you. That's what the word said tonight. That woman walked around for 18 years, and she was a daughter of Abraham, and she was bound by Satan.
Hallelujah. Right.
I ain't going to preach again because you already did that.
Amen.
You already did that. So if nobody has anything else to say, if nobody wants to call in on the phone line at area code 323-693-3054, I'm going to ask Pastor Felicia if she would close us out, because I'm a firm believer if you don't have anything else to say, then shut it down. So who is this? My husband says the Bible and homosexual. He put Leviticus 18:22, Genesis 19 verses 1 to 11, and Romans chapter 1 verses 26 and 27. And I'm going to read that again because this is going to be in the archives and someone may pull this up and listen to it. The Bible and homosexuality can be found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, verse 22, the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verses 1 to 11, and Romans, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And please, may I say this, you cannot explain homosexuality away. I don't care how you try to slice it, how to dice it, how to turn it around. God is talking about homosexuality for real. Okay? So I don't care how Satan tries to twist it in your mind. Homosexuality is just what it is. It's homosexuality. And
all right.
God don't like it. God don't like any sin, okay? He doesn't like any sin. if you read the Bible, anything that we do against our body, this our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God said if we destroy our temple, he's going to destroy us. Every other sin that we do is without the body. But when we commit fornication, when we commit adultery, and when we do this homosexual stuff, come on now.
Against the body.
It's against the body, okay? But homosexuality is a straight abomination. Maybe some people need to look up abomination. Hey, Brother Dre. See, we want to explain stuff away and we want to cover stuff up. Well, you know, God is love, so you shouldn't talk to the homosexual like that and tell them, man, shut up. Okay? Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 18, and Ezekiel chapter 33. Now, I know God meant to say this because he says it in three different chapters in the same book. If you tell a sinner about their sin and they turn away from their sin, you have saved their life. But if you tell them and they don't turn away from their sin, they want it when they die, it's on them. But if you don't tell them, their blood is on your hand if they die in their sin because you didn't tell them. The same thing with a righteous person. If you tell a righteous person what they're doing is wrong and they stop doing it, you have saved their life and their blood is not required of thee. But if you tell them and they don't turn away, hey, you did what you had to do. God not going to hold you responsible for that. You know, keep it moving. So we are responsible to tell people. We're supposed to tell ourselves first, and we're supposed to tell people, you know, not make a mockery out of them, not put them on blast, you know, not put them out there on Front Street so everybody can know their business. But we are responsible to give the word of God and give it in love because the word of God is going to do the convicting. You don't got to convict anybody. It's the word of God that's going to do the convicting, okay? Exactly. It's going, the word of God that's going to reprove and correct and instruct. It's the word of God. So after you give out the word of God, it's not on your hands anymore. Okay?
Amen.
What did he say? Okay, we'll make it a point to check you out tomorrow. TLO. Oh, okay, TLO. Okay, TLO, Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio, Minister Bonnie Howell. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I turned into your program late tonight. I don't know why I didn't get your message in my email. But if you could post your stuff on my page on Facebook, that would be cool too, Minister Bonnie. And let me say this before I forget, because I did post it in the chat room, that I am having morning prayer Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. Eastern time. I did post the phone number in the chat room if anybody would like to join us for 5 a.m. prayer, and it's from 5 to 5:45 because I do have to get ready for work at 5:45. But the numbers are in the chat room. If you need the numbers, you can look on my page, and it's freeconferencecall.com. So it's not going to be on Blog Talk Radio. It's going to be on freeconferencecall.com. And I've only been doing it since this past Tuesday, but I thank God for what he's doing. I thank God for what he's doing. So if the Lord leads you to join us in prayer in weekday mornings at 5 a.m., please do so. Please do so because, you know, we come together in unity, God will command the blessing. So I just wanted to put that out there because I always forget to say stuff. So let's join Minister Bonnie Howell Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Friday. And Brother Dre, are you still there? You can put your information in the chat room as well. About the broadcast that you are on, because I know you're like on a couple of them, two or three of them, if you would like to post on there. I know he's on with Minister Bonnie Howell. I heard him tonight. But if you have any more information, my husband, if you have anything that you need to post in there, put it in the chat room. And Pastor Felicia, if you have any information that you'd like us to know, let us know. Now, Pastor Felicia, before we close, what city are you in?
Akron, Ohio.
Oh, you're in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
She's in Ohio, Gerald. Yeah, we both lived in Ohio at one point. I lived in Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe my husband lived in, what, Cincinnati?
Yep.
Yeah. So, Ohio is in the house. Brother Jackson's. Brother Dre, you're not going to post your information? Okay. Anyway, Pastor Felicia, if you want to do invitation to come to Jesus Christ and an invitation to, if anybody is listening, even in the archives, if they want to be born again, you can give them your information on how they can contact you on Facebook. My information, if they log in, they'll see my information, so I don't have to say it, but you can give your information on Facebook if you would like for people to contact you. And please believe me, if the Lord allows me, we will be having you on again on the broadcast. So go ahead and close us out, if you don't mind. And if the Lord says the same, we shall meet on Blog Talk Radio again on Monday.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Once again, I want to bless you all for coming out. Amen. It is always my prayer that you go away not the same that you came. Amen. For any of you who the Lord has touched your heart on tonight, amen. And if you haven't called in but you desire, amen, to give God your all, amen, if you desire prayer or, you know, need someone to talk to, you can also contact me on the website, which is www.inhimministries-outreach.com. Amen. You can click on the contact button and you can leave me a message that way. Amen. You can also email me at minister.felicia@gmail.com. Amen. And you can also call. We have a toll-free 1-800 number, which is 1-866-231-3524. And you can leave a message along with your number, and I'll give you a call back. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And also I have a broadcast it's normally every night from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Amen. It will resume Tuesday of next week. I have a daughter that's graduating, going to college, and I have another, my 14-year-old daughter who is preparing for college as well. Amen. So my schedule is pretty busy at this time. Amen. So you all, I thank you all. Amen. Please keep me in your prayers. Amen. And hallelujah. Let's continue to do the work of the Lord. Amen. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we come to you at this time to thank you for all that you have done on this evening, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you for the word, hallelujah, that you have sent forth to your people, Father God. Lord God, I ask that you touch our hearts, Father God. Touch our minds, Father God. Lord God, renew us in our spirits right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we bind up any spirit that may try to come to hinder, that may try to come to snatch this word. Hallelujah. Lord God, we ask that you hide your word deep in our hearts, Father God. Let your word take root in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, let us go away not just talking, Lord God, but walking. Hallelujah. The walk in which you have given us in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, let us be doers as well as hearers of your word in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, give us the strength to endure those things, hallelujah, those secret sins that those may have, hallelujah, that comes to hinder us and bind us, Father God. Give us the strength, Father God, to turn it over to you, Father God. Close our ears up to the enemy. And Lord God, we ask that you open up to your word in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, release your anointing right now, Father God, the anointing that destroys every yoke in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, open up our ears, hallelujah, our understanding, Father God, to hear and know when you speak to us, Father God, in that thought, in that small, still voice, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. And Lord God, I ask that you strengthen us, Father God. And Lord God, redirect our path, Father God. Let us walk on the path of righteousness, Father God, in the name of Jesus,
amen.
Lord God. Even though we may walk alone, Father God, but we know that we are not alone, but you are with us. Lord God, as you said, when you have commissioned us to go forth and to share your gospel. Lord God, we come right now, Father God, as we prepare to go off this blog talk, but not out of your presence, Father God, that you cover us and that you keep us, Lord God. Lord God, we ask that you loose your angels right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, to minister to us, Father God, to continue to speak your word, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Cover our children, Lord God. Cover our family, our friends, those loved ones, Father God. Lord God, bring in our remembrance, Father God, those people that you would have us to minister to, Father God. Let us minister to remember to minister in love, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Remembering that ministering is just being servants to serve others, Father God. Let us go throughout our day and throughout our week, serving others, Father God, as you have called us to do, as you have served us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And Lord God, we ask that you just keep watch over us, cover us, Father God. Release a fresh anointing right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Breathe fresh wind in our lives, Father God, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Cover us and keep us, Father God. Give us traveling mercies for those who have destinations to go to. Father God, release your angels, Father God, to carry us back and forth safe and sound, yeah. Father God. And we thank you for your word. Lord God, we speak your word over our life, Father God. Anything that is in our lives that is not lined up according to your word, we ask that you remove it right now, Lord God. And Lord God, we ask that you line it up according to our word, Father God. Give us the strength to be obedient to you and your word, Father God, to speak to you, Father God, and to listen for when you speak to us and to take heed to your voice when you call in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Bless all those that are listening, Father God, those who are under unwavering, Father God, that are unsure about coming to you, Father God. Lord God, we ask that you loose your Holy Ghost to arrest them right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. And Lord God, we ask that you comfort them, Father God. Let them feel your very presence right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And Lord God, we ask that you just teach them, Father God. Have your way in their lives, Father God. Your will be done, not our own. Let your glory be glorified in all that we say, all that we do, and even all that we wear. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. And we come to give you all the glory, honor, and the praise. And it is so. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Today is Thursday, May 31st, 2012. I just wanted to say that. And I'm going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and put this information out here by voice. I put it in the chat room, but the free conference call is 1-760-984-1000. That's the phone number. Area code 1-760-984-1000. The participant code number is 438-416. And then you have to hit the pound sign or the number sign, however you want to say it. Okay, the participant code again is 438-416. All right, if the Lord says so, please join us in prayer so we can get the commanded blessing that ran down the priest's beard, even Aaron's beard, in Jesus' name. God bless you all. We love you. Thank you for joining us tonight, Brother Jackson, my husband, Bishop G-Man Scott, TLO Ministries. We did have some guests there, but Pastor Felicia, God bless you. Thank you so much for your obedience, and thank you for blessing me because I was blessed on tonight. Thank you so much. And let's just stay in contact, and we're going to get you on the broadcast again, okay? Everybody, good night, and God bless you.
Good night. God bless.